Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God. Thank you. We bless your name and we give you praise. May your name be glorified alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated in heavenly places. So, last week we continued on our series teaching on sanctuary protocols, and what we call the protocols of the sanctuary. And we explained that just like when you go into a shrine, there are some protocols that you need to observe to be able to fragment and do business with the spirit that oversees that shrine or temple. There is also a protocol that needs to be observed as a child of God when you appear before God in Zion. And we explained that anytime we meet in fellowship with God and with the saints, there is a spiritual union that exists between heaven and earth because we are one family. According to Ephesians chapter 3, the verse 14 and 15, the Bible says that of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So when we meet in church and in fellowship, there is a fellowship that is beyond earthly. There is a union. There is a celebration. There is a participation that is more divine than natural. And there was a time Jacob wrestled with God, had an encounter with God. And before then, he had a revelation when he slept at a place and had a vision that the heavens were opened and saw a ladder and angels were ascending and descending. And when he rose up, he said, surely the Lord was here and I didn't know. Which means that you can be present in a meeting that God is doing something that you are not aware. So it is possible for you to have spiritual activities ongoing and you are so carnally disconnected that you don't know what is going on in the spirit. And the disadvantage of that is that if you are not discerning to know what is going on per time in the spirit, you may not be able to receive much from that divine encounter that goes on in the spirit. That is how come Sanctuary Protocol is a series teaching that we are using to guide you so that you can be able to position yourself in a place where God can be able to fully bless your life with what he intends for you. Hallelujah. So we said that when we meet like this in fellowship, there are innumerable company of angels, which means we are not here alone. And usually the angels present are more than the people or believers present. The Bible also tells us that we have come to God, the judge of all. We have come to Jesus Christ, and we have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. So we are actually in heaven when we meet in heaven, in church. And I explained to you that the best place that is closest to heaven on earth is an anointed church meeting. And this understanding is supposed to guide us so we can position ourselves well anytime we appear before God. Because listen to me, if you don't know the right protocol of receiving a spirit, you may live with nothing. Hallelujah. So, we also looked at how we serve the Lord. Last week, we looked at what happens to those who come to church. And we explained, number one, they have divine strength. Number two, we said they have divine radiation. That means there's an energy that comes upon them that is not normal. Number three, we said protection from God. Number four, we said favor. Number five, we said glory. That means you become more weightier. There is more splendor and brightness upon your life than you came. Number six, we said you become more beautiful spiritually. Number seven, flourishing. Number eight is fruitfulness. Number nine is joy and pleasure. So today's message, I continue from here. Number 10, what happens to those who come to church? Number 10, we receive instructions, wisdom, and direction. We receive instructions, wisdom, and direction. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Bible says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now the verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now he says that the man of God, also the believer, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, this scripture verse is telling us that before a believer is enriched to do good works, he must first be furnished and perfected. Listen to me carefully. For the believer to do good works, he must be thoroughly furnished and perfected. So, if you are not perfected through the word of God, if your life is not shaped through the word of God, you'll not be able to do good works, which means you are a product of what you listen to. You are a product of what you see. You are a product of what you hear. So if you have not been perfected by the word of God, I'm sorry, what you have been hearing is what you will be living. So when we come to church, there is something the word of God does to us. Remember in 2 Timothy 3, the verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. So the word of God has profit. The first profit of the word of God is that it gives you doctrine, which means it gives you teachings. The word of God teaches your life. So if you lack the word of God, you lack a teacher. And we all know that we are where we are because someone taught us something. So the word of God profits us with doctrine, with a belief system. He says for reproof also. The word reproof there is conviction. Your convictions are built through the teaching of scripture. Which means that the more of the word of God that you hear, the more convictions in God that you build. Listen. We all build convictions every single time. Every single time in our lives, we are building a certain system of thought. A certain system of doing things. There are some of you, your convictions were gained from your from where you stayed, the area you stayed. It influenced your convictions. There are some of you, the people you stayed with influenced your convictions. So life is all about convictions, and convictions must be rooted in scripture. And the Bible is telling us that scripture profits us for the purpose of bringing us or giving us convictions. Are we here? So you deciding that you will never steal in your company or where you work is built on a conviction you've seen in the word of God. And the Bible also says it's for correction. Now, have you been in a service where you did something, nobody corrected you, you were just at home, and you came to church, and you have not told the man of God about anything, and he begins preaching, and you realize that the Holy Ghost was rebuking you through the teaching? That is what church service does to you. God inspires teachings and words in fellowship meetings like this
to be able to bring direction to your life.
I'm teaching you there.
So we said that the 10th thing that happens to those who come to church is that they receive instruction. Now note, he says for instruction in righteousness, which means the word of God instructs you on how right you should live. The word of God instructs you on righteous living. It instructs you on how well you should act as a child of God. So when we come to church, what happens to us is that we receive instructions, we receive wisdom, and we receive direction. God speaks to us to direct our lives. God speaks to us to change our ways. God speaks to us to repent. And finally, under that point, number 11, what happens to those who come to church? They build stronger and deeper connection with God. They build a stronger and a deeper connection with God. James chapter 4, the verse 8. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's as simple as that. And there's no better way of drawing nigh to God than to be in church. He says, and he will also draw near to you. So it's very simple. When you come to church constantly as a child of God, what happens is that you build a stronger and a deeper relationship and connection with God. Your connection with God gets stronger. Now, you see, there's something. The more you spend time with someone, the more you build connection with the person. Is that right? Is that right? There are people who are just your casual friends that was hi. You were just high with them. Until you started talking, you started communicating, and soon you started just getting connected. I'm not even talking about marriage. I'm not even talking about relationship. I'm talking about just friendship. There were some people you were just on a normal casual relationship with. But as you began to spend time and more time with each other, what happened is that the connection grew stronger. And that's what happens when we come to church. Hallelujah. So now, when you read Psalm 27, the verse 4, the Bible gives us two major reasons why we come to church. The Lord opened my eyes to it. That was last week. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So there are two major reasons why we come to church. Number one, to behold God's beauty. Now, this has got to do with worship, praises, lifting up our holy hands, blessing the Lord. That's how we behold his beauty. So this is a place where we get overwhelmed by who God is. So the first major reason why we come to church is to behold God's beauty. So we get overwhelmed by his presence, by his awesomeness, through worship and praise and blessing the Lord, singing praise songs to him. And the second reason why we come to church is to inquire of him. To inquire means to search. It means to seek. It means to hear what he has to say to us. To hear what he has to say to us. So don't forget the two major reasons why you're coming to church. Number one, to behold his beauty. That is where you are overwhelmed by worship. And number two, to inquire, which means to seek his face, to hear what he has to say to you, to help you to the next level of your life. So these two things must happen to you in every anointed church meeting. You must have some time when you get overwhelmed by God's presence through worship and praise. That is how come when it's possible for you to come to church and not participate in church activity. That is why we are called true worshipers. True worshipers are not passive, they are active. So we come to behold and we come to inquire. I'm teaching you here. Now, I want to explain church meetings in a certain light for you to understand what you are missing when you take for granted church meetings. Now, number one, church meetings are like Israel in Goshen. So you can write just Goshen. So church meetings are like being in Goshen. Now remember, when Israel came into Egypt through Joseph, and Israel entered into captivity, and they were being punished, they were being maltreated, and Moses was sent by God to come to deliver them. Now you will notice that all the plagues that struck Egypt, the Bible tells us that Israel, though they were in Egypt, they were in a particular location in Egypt called Goshen. And you'll be amazed that the word Goshen in Hebrew means presence. Goshen means presence. So actually, Israel who were in Goshen were actually in God's presence, though they were in Egypt. So whatever plague happened to the Egyptians, it did not have effect in their lives. Please listen to me carefully. So just like Israel was in Egypt, yet they were in Goshen, and what happened to the Egyptians did not happen to them because they were in Goshen. Likewise, though we are in the world, when we meet and gather in church, we are in Goshen, which means we are to come to a place where what happens to the people of the world does not happen to us. I'm teaching good here. So church meeting is a Goshen experience. It's a meeting of where we come to build immunity against demonic viruses. So much so that we carry that presence we come to sharpen along with us, that our life itself becomes a Goshen. In a sense that what happens to the people of the world does not have effect in us because of our meeting place, because of our meeting activity, because of the presence of God that surrounds us in church meetings. So the first experience we can use to describe church meeting is Goshen. So when you are in church, you are in Goshen. Am I teaching with you? Number two, the second experience of church meeting is like the Ark of Noah. It's like the Ark of Noah. Now remember, God brought judgment upon the world. But before he brought the judgment, he told Noah to build an ark. And as many that entered the ark came to a place of safety. So the waters that destroyed the earth did not affect the people in the ark. Please follow this. This is the experience of the believer who is constantly in God's presence. Hear me. God's presence is like the Ark of Noah. God's presence is like the Ark of Noah. When you are there, you are safe. Hear me carefully. The safest place to be on earth is in the presence of God. You are safer in the presence of God. Now, remember, I'm not saying that church is the only place where God's presence is. No, that's not what I'm saying. But based on what we are teaching here, we have directed everything because of the teaching that we are doing. Because you can still appear before God's presence in your home. That's your personal closet. But we are talking here about church meetings. So the presence of God is like the Ark of Noah. The more you abide there, the more safer you are. Number three, church meetings are like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that followed Israel. The church meeting is like the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that followed Israel. Now, you'll be shocked to know that anytime we appear in God's presence, there is a pillar. Now, every advantage that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire had upon Israel is the very advantage that we have when we abide in God's presence in the context of being in church. You will notice that anytime the pillar appeared, it brought them direction. Anytime the pillar appeared, it brought them protection. Follow. In fact, when Israel came out of Egypt and they were getting closer to the Red Sea, Pharaoh also dispatched an army to go and bring Israel back into bondage. And the Bible tells us that the pillar of cloud appeared. And God began to dismantle through angels the wheels of their chariots. And the Egyptians were completely destroyed. Why? Because if you study your Bible carefully, the Bible tells us that it was when the pillar was erected that Israel was protected. So any demonic situation or any enemy situation that comes close to that pillar comes to trouble. So because they were in the pillar, nothing could penetrate against their lives. Listen to me. If you keep abiding in the presence through church meetings, you are impenetrable. You are unstoppable. There is a hard God fix that appears. You may not see it, but it is happening to your life, which makes it impossible for the enemy to attack your life. I was watching one confession of one man, and he made a very striking statement. He says that there are three ways that the occult kingdom identify believers who are dangerous. Number one, they see them as people who are clothed with light and fire. So anytime they want to attack them, they see the people, they are clothed with light and fire. They can't attack them. Number two, they see those believers dipped in a pool of blood, which is the blood of Jesus, of course. So they see these believers as believers who are walking as though they've been dipped in blood. And number three, they see those believers in a pillar. And he says something amazing. He says the more those believers fellowship in God's presence, the more the pillar becomes larger. And he made a striking statement. He says believers who constantly go to church always go and widen and sharpen the pillar that protects them. Which means that the pillar that may be a protection field over your life can be weakened. But the more we are and appear before God in Zion, that pillar is strengthened. So listen to me carefully. Church meetings are like coming into a pillar, which gives you a certain protection that is not normal. And number four, church meetings are like Eden experience. Eden. When you come to church, it's as though you have appeared in Eden. It's as though you have appeared in Eden. Remember, God created the earth, but he planted man in Eden. The reason why nobody knows the location of Eden was because Eden was extracted and withdrawn back into heaven when man fell. So Eden is not a physical geographical location that you can find. If not, most of you would have gone to live there. So Eden was actually a spiritual place in a physical place. That is how come nobody can find Eden. Because God brought Eden back home when man fell. That is how come, listen to me, once man was driven away from Eden, he began to sweat. When man was driven from Eden, man began to toil. When man was driven from Eden, man began to suffer. When man was driven from Eden, his experience changed, which means there was something in Eden that was not normal. Eden was actually a spiritual environment. The air Adam breathed was different. The experience Adam had was different. It was in, see, if Adam still remained in Eden, he would have been eternally remained. So when he was driven from Eden, he now became mortal. Please, I'm teaching good here. So I'm trying to draw your mind back. It was in Eden we saw the tree of life. It was in Eden we saw four rivers. And in those rivers, one of them had gold and precious stones and delium, which are pearls. So in that same Eden, there was experience of wealth. There was experience of refreshment. There was experience of satisfaction in Eden. There was experience of growth. There was experience of marriage. So hear me carefully. Church meetings are like being in Eden. Every advantage Adam had in Eden is the very advantage we have in church. Which means those rivers are still around. Which means there are things we eat when we appear before God in church that our physical eyes cannot see, but we are eating. There are things we are drinking in the spirit that our physical eyes cannot see. There is a rest that we have, which is the true experience of Eden. Beloved, never joke with church. I'm teaching with you. So now, what are the four experiences? Number one, church meeting is like what? Like what? Goshen. Number two, it's like an ark of Noah. Number three, what? Pillar of cloud. Uh-huh. Finally, it's like the Eden experience. Please, are you getting something here? Good. Now, I want to speak to you quickly about the blessings of serving the Lord. The real thing that we need to teach, I've not started yet. I'm still opening up things to you for you to come into understanding before we go into protocol, sanctuary protocols proper. The blessings of serving the Lord. Now, remember we just finished speaking about what happens to those who come to church. But I need you to understand something very important. There is a difference between coming to church and serving the Lord. I repeat myself again. There is a difference between coming to church and serving the Lord. Coming to church is an attendance. Serving the Lord is participation. Coming to church is attendance. Serving the Lord is participation in what the Lord is doing. So it is possible for you to be a church attender and not be a church participator. So let's get the difference. You may be a church comer or a church goer and not a church servant. What I'm teaching here is the blessings of serving the Lord. So after this service, you should ask yourself a very big question. Am I serving the Lord? And when I say serving the Lord is not only limited to being a church worker. There are people who are not church workers, but they are serving the Lord. And I'm going to be giving you practical ways we can serve the Lord so that you can start serving the Lord. Because many Christians are not serving God. Please listen to me carefully. Because listen to me, there are benefits for coming to church, but there are rewards for serving the Lord. So when you come to church regularly, you may enjoy certain benefits, which I've stated about 11 of them. But when you practically serve the Lord, there are rewards and blessings He gives to you. These are for those who serve the Lord, not those who come to church. I'm teaching you so that you understand what you are missing. So before we go into that quickly, I want to give you some few practical facts about serving the Lord. Are you ready? Serving the Lord must be done in zeal and spiritual fervency. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Serving the Lord must be done in zeal and spiritual fervency. That is why we don't do dead church. Everybody rise up. Everybody rise up. Looking at the pastor. Then the worship leader will start singing, and he's singing to himself. And the audience are watching him as though they are in a movie theater. Listen, I told you the last time, you may be going through problems. Once you enter God's presence, you put your problem aside. Am I teaching good here? Because if you really want to receive from God, you must serve God in His terms and not in your terms. You must serve God the way He likes it and not the way you like it. So we serve the Lord in zeal and in spiritual fervency. Number two, serving the Lord is the secret to greatness. Oh, this one is too good. Serving the Lord is the secret to greatness. Most of you want to be great outside of service. Matthew chapter 20, the verse 26. You want to be great? Please. Look, he says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great amongst you, let him be your minister. Give that to me in NIV. 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 He says, not so with you. Instead, whosoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. So serving the Lord is the secret to greatness. If you want to be great, serve the Lord. Now, let me say this in tree. Yakasi obi sumbusuma. What's Yasia saying? Give me a microphone. Give me a microphone. Yakasi obi sumbusuma. What's Yasia saying? Both tree and English, we'll take it. How do you understand? When we say someone is serving an idol, explain it to me. Can someone share? Lift up your hands. Good. Yeah.
Serving an idol is like allowing other things take the place of God in your heart.
No, you are being too spiritual. The Nigerian movie I've been watching, people serving idol. I want that language. Having, when we say someone is serving an idol,
having an image, something made that you worship.
That you worship. Okay.
Make sacrifices.
You make. I love that. You see, I'm not talking. You have been watching Nigerian film. All right. Let's get another person. You can speak in tree. The cast will be sumbusuma. What's Yasia saying? All right. So please take the microphone to her. What's Yasia saying? Yeah. This is too deep. I think this is the deepest among the deepest. I'm telling you. But what can it be? Obia oyabosumna said. Clap for her. No. No. It's the best answer so far. The Albe KPI, it won't meet this one, but you continue. Let's take it like that. Yes. When we say someone is worshiping an idol, yes. Let me take three more. Yeah.
Say I can say Obi Sombo Soma.
Yeah.
We share Emla any Amamre Asi.
Who should then?
Emla.
Emra any Amamre Asi. Amamre ni a day. Yeah. Say, take the microphone.
Busumbia.
Now bring practicals.
Busumbia or Emra any Amamra.
Busumbia or Emra ni day.
Amamre.
Amamre. Amamre, there's an English word I want to. Is it a legality? No, custom, yes.
And tradition.
A custom and a tradition for serving the idol.
Yes.
Why is this? Are you an idol worshiper? Why are you watching me like that? Yeah.
So, Baba, what he said is very deep. So, Busumbia, I have say, Oko Kumasiya, your Busumbia friend Tigari.
Tigari.
There is a way we serve Tigari.
So, the, you cannot serve. Every idol Antua has a way you serve.
Yes.
So you can't serve Antwa like the way you serve Tigari. Okay.
Or Enyama. Mm-hmm. So at the Antwa, the Bosom, we call it Enyama.
Okay.
So there is a way we serve Enyama and there is a way we serve Tigari.
Okay.
There are things you can do. Enyama will forgive you, Tigari will kill you.
That's very deep.
So
that's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. So I'm trying to interpret.
So he's talking. So, the Alka Enibium. Bosom Biawo Emra Ni.
You are under it. Uwo
nemra nemamre ase. Chale, this is deep. Let's go to another person. Can someone help us? When we say you are worshiping an idol or you are serving an idol, what does it mean?
Papa, it's more or less being a slave to
that's the deep. Idol. It means that we are kwa. You are a slave to the idol or to the spirit. Please, are we getting this thing here? Let's take two more. Yes.
I'll take the microphone.
Yeah. It means the person is under a certain covering that makes him feel untouchable.
It means the person is under a certain covering that makes him feel untouchable. Okay, that's the benefit of serving the idol. But we are talking of the practice of serving an idol. You get what I'm saying? So let's take a final one and then we continue. Yes.
Submitting to the will of the idol.
Submitting to the will. So when we say someone is serving an idol, we are also saying that he's submitting to the what? Will of the idol. We are taking these things so that we also understand that when we say we are serving God, it means we are serving a spirit. And there is a protocol for serving that spirit, which means he used the word traditions and customs. Likewise, there are, in a way, traditions and customs outlined in the word of God that God has instructed that this is how I want you to worship me. You know, it's unfortunate that it's only in church that Christians serve God the way they want. And they want God to move on their behalf. He has a protocol. It's not about your crying. That's what you don't understand. If you are serving Antwa, it is not your tears. It is the principle. That says, Malago, it's all about the grace of God. Please, Tadeo Kanu. There is a protocol. If you read the book of Psalms, he speaks of lifting up holy hands. He speaks of kneeling. He speaks of giving offering. He gives of sacrifices. I'm talking of practical Christianity here. As a protocol for servicing the Spirit of God. You are under a law system. You are under a system of obedience. You need to obey. Yeah, you want to say something? All right, get a microphone, please.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if you're serving an idol, that's a very powerful one. You don't have, I think, let me use it this way. You don't have your life. That's very deep. So, for example, let me give you a practical example, like the choir. Okay? All these beautiful girls there, they have nice dresses that they've sewn that they want to wear. But as long as you are in the choir, there is a uniform. So, if you want to serve God, you may have to leave that nicer dress with blings and diamonds in it. And wear the uniform you don't like. That is serving God. Please, am I helping you? So sometimes, people don't understand why they are not receiving from God. It's because they've not been taught the protocols of serving and servicing God. You know, the word ritual has been abused because it has been used demonically, but they are rituals under God. There are legalities and spiritual customs under God. It's not a strange thing. When I start opening, you realize that this is in your Bible all this while. For example, the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Which means when you appear before the Spirit of God, one of the customs and traditions is to sing. So if you're a Christian and you say you don't sing to the Lord, and God says, this is what I require as part of your serving me, and you say, I don't have a good voice, you will not be blessed by the Spirit of God. He says, never appear before me without an offering. Which means, even if you don't have money, borrow one city from someone and give an offering, because the Spirit, he requires it from you. And I'm going to be teaching you why we give offerings. Most of you don't understand. Unfortunately, the false prophets have taught us the wrong thing. The false prophets have made it look like money is the gospel. But hear me carefully. There is a requirement for God's presence. Is someone getting blessed here? I know someone who serves the Spirit. The Spirit's requirement is that he must not wear slippers. He must not wear shoe. So he walks barefooted. Please, are you following me? Are you following me? If you are truly serving God, you understand that serving God is not Sunday. It's every day. If you truly understand serving God, you will know that it's not every movie you must watch. I can want more. If you truly understand serving God, it's not every series you must watch. You know, most of you allow anything in your eyes. Part of the requirement, if you ask ritualists, there are places they must never go in their lives. That's why you see most original ritualists, they stay in the bush. The ones you see at KFC, they are not idol worshippers. They are Zam boys and girls. If you see a ritual, a fetish priest who is doing shopping at the mall, he is not a correct one. The real ones who have power, they stay in the bush. Those places, they don't put signboard there, but people know there. They don't advertise themselves. I'm telling you, those advertising themselves are tricksters. We know one who has started a church. Please listen to me carefully. If you don't understand how to serve the Lord, you will come to church for 25 years and you will complain against God. This teaching is going to solve a lot of problems and questions many of you are asking. You were in church. You didn't serve him. Don't say that again. Don't say you served him when you don't understand what it means to serve God. When you are serving God, it means you are giving someone money to come to church. It's part of serving. When you are serving God, which means you are the reason why someone eats dinner. When you are serving God, it means you must help the needy. So don't come and sit here looking good and say you are serving God. Most of you came to advertise your new dress. You didn't come to serve God. You don't like my teaching. But I'll still give it to you. Have you ever given someone your last money and you went home broke? You have not had that experience. You have not started serving God. Serving God will cost you. I gave you two, right? Number three fact about serving the Lord. Oh, how the time is just moving. I don't know why. Hear me carefully. Number three, until you learn how to serve the Lord, you are not really living. You are just existing. Until you learn to serve the Lord, you are not really living. Luke chapter 9, the verse 23 and 24. I'm going to borrow a bit of the prayer time. He says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, that means if you want to come and serve me, if you want to follow me, he says, let him what? Deny himself and what? Take up his cross and follow me. Which means there is no Christianity without self-denial and sacrifice. You don't understand. Sometimes I have to drive from Bawe 4 to 5 times a week to come and pray here and go back home every day. You know the fuel it takes? But when you are serving and servicing the Spirit, it's a requirement. Please, never complain about lorry fare. You will destroy your service. Because when we are serving, we sacrifice. Am I helping you? Let's continue. Number four. Serving God is a reasonable response to his ultimate service to us. Serving God is a reasonable response to his ultimate service to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse 15. Now listen to me. The reason why we serve God is because he first served us. How did God serve us? He served us by giving his life to us. So Jesus served you by coming to die for you, and you will serve him by living for him. I repeat, Jesus served us by dying for us so that you will serve him by living for him. So hear me, living for Jesus is only reasonable of you because you understand what he has done for you. That is why Christians who complain can never serve. Go and check your Bible. Can you imagine God made a plague hit Israel because of complaint? It is either you are doing it or you don't do it. But don't do it and complain, because once you do something in service to God and you complain, you have cut off yourself from the blessing. I'm teaching good here. He says, and that he what? Died for how many? For all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we don't live for ourselves. We don't live for ourselves again. So listen, if you are that child of God that is always thinking about yourself, you would never be able to serve God. Next point. This one is good. God keeps records of our services and our good deeds done in his name. Every service you have done to God, he keeps record of it. He will play it in heaven. Hebrews chapter 6, the verse 10. Hebrews 6, 10. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, you see, serving God also here means serving his people. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Listen, God records every act of service done for him. Very important point to note here. Now, next point. We don't serve God for rewards. We serve him because he's worthy. So the reason why some of you don't get any blessings is because you come to church because you are looking for a miracle. That's the big problem we have today as Christians. He came to church for 1 month. Now, the first question you need to ask to see whether you are in the best place is that, what is the word being taught there? There are two ways you can measure a genuine church. Number one is not miracles, because Satan can perform one. You judge a genuine church by word and prayer. How they uphold the integrity of the word of God and prayer. That is how you judge a good church. Because Satan can perform a miracle. Satan can give you word of knowledge. He can tell you the food you ate yesterday. So there is a spirit of divination which looks like a spirit of prophecy. Satan can imitate it. So please, don't judge a church because there are pastors who pray long, but when they come, they teach cool. Don't be deceived. Because if your measurement of a great church is how long you got there and how quick the miracle came, I can tell you before the year ends, you'll fall into an occultic church. So hear me carefully. We don't serve God for miracles. We don't serve God for rewards. We serve him because he's worthy. And he's deserving of our worship. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is the last point. Very powerful. Serving God is for our betterment and profit. This is a very strong point. Serving God is for our betterment and for our profit. Now, when you serve God, it's not just for God. It's also for you and your children. When you serve God, it's not just only for God, though. When you serve God, it's for your own betterment and your profit. Some of you have acknowledged that when you started taking God serious, your life has become better. Today, you don't want pornography again. Today, for the first time, when you sin, you have conviction. That means you're becoming better. You love clubbing, moving here with friends, moving there with friends. Now you realize your life is becoming better and better. Serving God is for our betterment and our profit. Listen, it's so important to know that God doesn't first need you. You need him. Because he's God all by himself. He's self-existing. He does not even need your worship. But when you worship him, you glorify him. Now, question. Before man came, how was God glorified? We can't tell. That means he was already glorified before we glorify him. So hear me. When we glorify him, it's a privilege. What a privilege to worship you, maker of all universe. You can play that in the background. Or you can play it. Okay, so play it. Hallelujah. So it's for our own betterment. Now, this is actually in contrast to idol worshippers. Have you noticed that the end result of idol worshippers is dirtiness? Have you noticed that same idol kills them? Have you noticed their lives become a mess? Have you even noticed that their children's lives becomes a mess? So the rewards that idol worshippers have for serving Satan is shame, disgrace, death. Death. Filth. Can you imagine? That one guy who was looking for power, they mixed human hair, pounded human bones, took, you know, when a woman delivers, that thing from the, what's the name? Placenta, they grounded it. They cut the flesh of a 10 days dead body. They mixed it. And they bathed the dead body, the water of the dead body, they mixed it. And they said they should drink it. In fact, I forgot the last one. They added poo-poo. That has lasted for 21 days. And then they fry it. For power. What kind of idol worship is this? You are eating, it's not even your own poo-poo. Someone's poo-poo you don't know. The idol say eat it. Drink it. Look at what Satan is doing. Eh? If you are serving God, be proud though. Because some of the rich people you are seeing there, they don't sleep. Some of them, and their legs are rotting. And they are smiling. Some of them, they walk backwards into their bedroom. Some of them, they've not bathed for 2 years. I'm telling you. And there are people you see. Oh, there are people you see. They are rocking in their Mercedes Benz. And they are suffering. You see, no matter your state, you are better than someone. I hope you are aware. There was a man that said he's fed up with life. And he went to a bush somewhere and he removed his dress. And he decided to hang himself. When he hanged on the tree and was about to give up, then he saw a man passing by without dress. And the man saw a new dress. Oh, Father, thank you for giving me a new dress. He didn't know someone was up there. And he took the dress and wore it. And the guy realized that there's hope in life. He said, hey, bring my dress. He realized that even when he was about to die, someone was about to inherit his dress. And he realized that he has hope in life. My brother, my sister, don't lose hope. Oh. I said what? Don't lose hope. Clap, 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 clap. Don't lose hope. There is hope for you. there is hope for you. Maybe you started a business and the business crashed, it collapsed, and it seems everything has gone bad for you. Hear me, don't lose hope. You have been rejected of visa several times, don't lose hope. Anytime something great is about to happen, boom, it goes off. Don't lose hope. The Bible says, cast not your confidence, for it has great recompense in the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, so you wrote exam in school and you were expecting A plus and you had D minus and you are contemplating suicide. What? That is if you are that person watching me, if you go to heaven, I will let Angel Michael, he will prepare a table and he will put you on the table and lash you and bring you back to the earth. You kill yourself because of letter D. A letter. Meanwhile, there are people who have first class, they don't have a job. And there are people who never went to school and they are millionaires. You don't understand life. Now one guy said, "Here, we do not person committing suicide." Now, do you know what people are going through? I've had enough. I've had enough. Enough. Enough is enough. Instead of eating three times a day, I only ate two times. What is happening to my life? Hey, what is happening to me? I'm fed up in life. Well, how can one person have only five shoes? No, you'll be amazed what many believers are sad about. And you realize it's not a problem at all. Please, is there anybody here who is sleeping outside on the street? If you are that person, you are sleeping outside on the street. Lift up your hands, let me see. You sleep outside on the street. Lift your hands, let me see. Nobody. God has been good. Number two, is there anybody here who has not eaten for the past 3 days? You are not fasting. You have not eaten for the past 3 days. You are not fasting. You have not eaten 3 days. I will quickly order KFC for you now. You have not eaten 3 days. You are not fasting. Is there anyone like that? My friend, why are you making God look like God is a monster? You see, the reason why, can I share something with you? I was telling a man of God that, do you know why in the parable of the talents, one was given five, one was given how many? Two, one was given one. Do you know why the one who had one buried it? Because he saw the gifts given to the one who had five and the two. If he didn't see it, he would have worked. If the one who had one talent didn't see that someone given five and someone was given two, he would have worked. I'm telling you, he wouldn't have even known. He would have thought the one was the biggest and he would have worked. Some of you are where you are because you are looking at another man's garden. That is why you think God has done nothing for you. You are spying what is going on in the lives of other people and you compare it to yours and you realize, no, I'm here. Meanwhile, God is seeing the thing differently, but because you keep peeping, you are not focused, you are not content with what God has given to you, so you are looking at another man. You are looking at another man. Stop looking at others. Stop looking at what God is doing in the lives of people and start seeing what God is doing for you and be grateful. Father, thank you. You have done a lot. You have been good to me. I am grateful. You have been gracious to me. I have shoes to wear. I have clothes to wear. I have food to eat. I am blessed. My children are growing. My children are not hungry. Thank you, Lord. You must be grateful. There would never have been envy if there were no other human beings there. and jealousy is because men don't appreciate what they have. Do you know that the brothers of Joseph had a dream, saw 11 stars bowing down to one star. What happened to them is that they forgot they were also stars. Because they saw one big star, they forgot they were stars. Listen to me. If you keep people looking into the life of others, the houses they've built, the cars they have, the people you started life with, who are your mates? Who are they? Who are those you started life with? Who are they? And so what? You care too much. I'm telling you, you care too much. You are here, you think you have to sew 20 dresses before you're a woman. Meanwhile, Adam and Eve did not wear a dress. And God was pleased. So you are the one worrying yourself. Today I checked my wardrobe. I realized I've become a little bigger, so all my dresses are not fitting. I don't have enough dress. This dress is about 6 years old. I sold it after I got married. And I saw it. I said, oh, beautiful. I just ironed it and came. I didn't bother. I said, Lord, no clothes for the Son of Man. You worry about life, oh. I'm telling you. You are taking life too serious. So everything is... You feel... See, since last year, I've been wearing 3 shoes. I repeat it every time. One is even spoiling. And it doesn't bother me, oh. I'm telling you. Because listen, life is in stages. If you're not content with stage 1, you will never move to stage 2. The way you are bitter, you are sad, you are always, it's like you are carrying a spirit of ingratitude. You are carrying a spirit of ingratitude, a spirit of envy and jealousy. As I speak to you, I don't have a car because I use my car as a seat. Today, the Uber I came in with, fortunately, there's a man of God who was in Ukraine, doing ministry in Ukraine, and something happened, and then he lost everything, came back to Ghana. It was my teachings on revival and the song I speak in tongues that gave him life and hope to come back again as a man of God. And he was the Uber driver who picked me. So I came out from the house, and then I sat in. He says, Odifo, good morning. I was like, does this man know me, or he's just using a guesswork? I said, do you know me? He says, yes. I've been listening to your song and I've been watching your videos on YouTube. I said, hey. So I sat down. He started telling me a story and told me it was my teaching on revival that brought him back alive. And I was excited. I got here. I use Uber to come to church most of the time. So when I come, you may think it's a demotion. But me, it's an opportunity to witness and evangelize. So how you see life really matters. I don't know how you are seeing things. But most of you, the way you are seeing things, me who you? I'm not saying that, Lord, how can a man of God who is all over the place not using a car? I see Uber as a means of witness. It has not crossed me that I should be sad because I don't have a car. What are you telling me? Listen, some of us, we have tough skin. Oh. We have tough skin. I'm telling you, tough skin. Every problem is a stepping stone. We don't see problems. We don't see problems. Because all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Everything will work together for your good. It's just a matter of time. Stop being impatient. Make sure you're doing the right thing. Give God time. He will bless your life. He will beautify your life. He will clothe your life. He will give you helpers. Maybe the season you are in is a season of struggle because God wants you to build your prayer life. Because the time is going to come, the new job you have, you may not be able to even pray for 5 minutes. And if you have not built capacity, you'll be in trouble. Some of you, some rejections were actually God telling you, go back and hide and build. Some bad news that came was God saying, it is not time, because when I expose you, your family witches will kill you. I heard recently of a Nigerian called Pope something something who recently, it was just 6 weeks ago that he advertised his new house. Forgetting that, listen, it's not everybody that can advertise their house. It's not everyone that can advertise their castle. Because we are all not from the same family. He died. And maybe the reason why God is hiding you is because God has seen one witch who has been monitoring you. Monitoring you. When you buy house akoko, he says, okay, see Kenya. The day he will see you buy fried rice, you are in trouble. So he sees you buying beans. He says, Enkoye, what do I mean? On the business. The way he sees you buying Kenke. But when I'm a Kenke, for city, main pen, he says, ah, okay. When you're in Kuomo, when you're in Kuomo, but when I'm a rice, 3 cities, Talia, 2 cities. Now, for Wele, 1 city, you say, ah, we're in only Wele, they said nutrients be in him. He says, Yenkuno, you better not say next year. But the day he will see you say, Mommy, for 450 cities. And now 250 cities. He says, Akwe, Mekuno, papa. Mekuno. Mammy, and the compa. So hear me. God is hiding you. Relax. You are too sad for my liking. And too sad for God's liking. You are too worried. In fact, some of you are worried and worried and worried and worried. Your name now is Mrs. Worry. Please, cheer up. Look to 3 people and smile. 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 Put your hands on someone's shoulders. And tell the person, don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Just smile. There's hope. Rise up on your feet. You know, you're going to go to 10 people and tell them, listen, what you are going through is nothing. Tell him. Look for 10 people. Tell him what you are going through is nothing. What you are going through is nothing. God is with you. Tell the person what you are going through is nothing. It's nothing. Tell the person what you are going through is nothing. It's nothing. Make sure you tell 10 people what you are going through is nothing. It's nothing. Relax. Tell the person, relax, cry. You are fine. Now lift your hands and sing this song. Ao majinkwa mahodi many downs nimbaya resa minya mie abramentia si medeme hoshe wosa so mimo.
One more time.
Oh, my shame. that so.
Many that so.
My hill and my arisa.
Yeah, true, true, true.